This is Life Talk, where we tell it like it is. Life Talk is motivational, helping you get to the next level in life. Life Talk is educational, to broaden your knowledge. Life Talk is inspirational, to get you fine-tuned to start doing what you love doing. Life Talk, sponsored by KmarEducation.org. And here is your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Hi, this is Marietta from Life Talk. Stay safe. Be strong, because different times are coming, and practice social distancing.
Tonight's program is brought to you in part by KmarEducation.org and TheHealingMindMagazine.com. Hello and welcome to Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta, and I am sitting actually in the studio tonight after 2 months. I could actually cry. That's how happy I am. It moves me very much. So we've been doing the show from home, really. So hope everybody is doing well, considering the circumstances. Being safe is the most important thing. So going back to our job or a job, some of us won't have a job or work. So however, I am convinced and I know that these hard times are opportunities to take self-initiative more than ever before. How do I know this? I live it. Day in, day out. Without taking self-initiative and self-determination, we can't sustain. So tonight's topic is about new ways to earn an income. Reinvent yourself and apply your skills and talents, because now is the time to put your skills and talents to work. The time is now to share our talents so others can benefit. And now is the time to activate our talents. And we are here to guide and help you going forward. Tonight, I feel we have a very, very special program, and I'm bringing to you living proof what can happen when people share their talent, skills, and take immediate action. The Farm to Food Bank Project, co-founders John Boddy, Bill Mail Eisen, and Army veteran Dave Lemon are with us tonight. The project made national and international news, and thousands of people are getting food. So before we get started with that, I do have some announcements, and it goes like this. We have changing times. Things are not being the same. Don't wait around. Reinvent yourself and apply your skills and talents, because you are unique. For immediate consultation, call Kmar Education, 203-505-3660. You have more to offer than you think. To all pet owners in these hard times, KmarEducation.org and NaturalPetOutlet.com, helping with free food for dogs and cats again, Friday, June the 5th, during the hour of 10:30 a.m. through 1 p.m. Interested individuals should go to kmareducation.org. That's spelled like Kmart without the T, kmareducation.org. And click on the dog banner. Go to the registration form, fill it out, and send it. Somebody will get back to you with a registration code. And if you're not a pet owner, please spread the word. You're doing a good thing. So the web again is kmareducation.org, and I want to thank Ralph Arabia. He's the owner of Natural Pet Outlet, location Bridgeport and Monroe. Thank you, Ralph Arabia, very, very much. This project is for 3 months. I appreciate your help. Thank you so much. Also, RAPropertyCareServices.com is your Four Seasons service company for spring cleanup, lawn maintenance and treatment, landscaping for yard and garden, tree pruning and removal, snow removal. So they do offer senior citizen discount. Contact for a free quote, RAPropertyCareServices.com. We love to hear from you. That is RAPropertyCareServices.com. So they're great people. And at this opportunity, I'd like to take this opportunity to give a shout out to Barbara B. in Fairfield. We call her BB. She's a great supporter of the pet program. Hope you enjoy the show tonight, Barbara. And our last announcement is a message from Lakeside Nutrition in Monroe, Connecticut. You know Melissa. Melissa Marty. She's been on our show many times. Lakeside Nutrition, they're a healthy smoothie and juice bar, and they have gift cards that they would like to offer you because your support will really help them, but also your friends and loved ones. So you can send a digital gift card in any amount to choose your friends, family, or yourself. So thank you. And they can't wait to see you again. So their phone number is 203-880-9445. I'll repeat that. Lakeside Nutrition, 203-880-9445. So see their full menu on thehealingmindmagazine.com because we support Lakeside Nutrition. They're great people. What a great idea. You know, we can have the smoothies and juice and then, you know, it's healthy. It's absolutely great. So, you know, I'm done with my announcements, Mr. Rich. So,
when your baby leaves your room, I'm nobody calls you on the phone, don't you feel like crying? Don't you feel like crying? Well, here I am, honey.
You are tuned in to Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta, and tonight we're going to talk about new ways to earn an income working with our skills and talents, because hard times will bring the best or the worst out of people. Hard times are great opportunities to upgrade ourselves, bring out our creativity, skills, and talents, and hard times bring forth changes, and they can be very challenging for some of us. So, we all are watching the daily news, television, and we know that restaurants and schools are closed due to the COVID-19, and that the farmers are forced to destroy millions of pounds of fresh food that they no longer can sell. So, at the same time, Americans across the country are losing jobs, depleting savings, and turning to food banks for the first time. Overwhelmed by the demand, food banks are forced to turn away families empty-handed, leaving them hungry. I'd like to start our first segment before I introduce our guests. I'd like to start with the ABC News clip, and Mr. Rich, if you would be so kind.
On the farmers forced to throw out rotting produce and that spoiled milk, we said we would stay on this, wondering if there's any way to get that food to the families who need it. There is news tonight, and here's Steve Osensami.
The people you're about to meet say they wanted to help after hearing this report.
Real questions after some farmers were forced to destroy their crops, dump milk, unable to deliver to those in need.
I'm sitting on my couch. I watched your report at 7:30 p.m. Tuesday, April 14th, and I said, this is wrong. We need to do something.
Our story was about farmers who were pouring milk down the drain and watching vegetables rot in their fields. The coronavirus is hurting them too. John Boddy, a money manager, decided to call a few friends the very next day, and the idea was born. They would send semi-trailers to the nation's farms and bring back free food to people in need.
Cabbage farmers, potato farmers in upstate New York. There's another wonderful woman, Shonda, that has rice, that's U.S. rice, down in Mississippi.
By Saturday, there were a dozen more friends, and they realized the farmers needed help too. So now they were raising money to buy the food that farmers were going to throw away. This tonight is their first shipment. More than 43,000 pounds of potatoes purchased from a farmer in Idaho, driven by this Army veteran and arriving in the South Bronx on Saturday.
We could come together and we could come up with solutions and make a difference. And we're lighting candles in the darkness right now.
This has now grown into an operation with three large trucks, hundreds of volunteers, and even small businesses donating their relief money from the federal government. Amazing is a good word to describe this. David?
Well, we salute John and everyone trying to help. Just the beginning, Steve, and I know you're going to stay on this. Thank you, Steve.
And with us tonight are John Boddy, the co-founder of Farm to Food Banks and money manager. Good evening, John Boddy.
Hi, good evening, Marietta. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here. I'd like to introduce Bill Maleisen, one of the co-founders, the business consultant. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Evening, Marietta. Again, thank you for having us.
Thank you for being with us tonight. And, of course, Dave Lemon, an Army veteran, mechanic, and an independent truck driver from Salt Lake City, Utah, from Soar Transportation. Good evening, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing good, Marietta. Thanks for having us on.
You're not in the truck right now, right? Going cross country again.
I'm actually still at work. I haven't really taken a day off since then.
Aw, thank you for being with us tonight. And a big welcome to all the other co-founders who could not be with us tonight, but you are with us in mind and heart. So welcome, and thank you. And I'd like to start with John Boddy, who really has the floor tonight to tell the story. And I'd like to ask, please take us through the moment as you were watching television on your couch, on your sofa. I think you were sitting on your sofa, and you watched the world news. Paint a picture. What did you think? What did you feel? Please take us through all of this.
Sure. So, you know, as we were watching ABC News, we saw that there were these farmers with crops that they obviously invested in. They pour their hearts, their spirits, and to grow these crops year in after year out, and it's how they make their living. And with the COVID crisis and restaurants closed, supply chains being disrupted, they no longer had markets for their food. So they were faced with a very tough decision, which was to what to do with these crops. Is it even worth harvesting it and putting more money into it and not having a market for it, or donating them to feed people? And obviously they have to keep themselves in business as well. And then the juxtaposition right afterward of seeing these food lines and obviously the economic disruption, and just like the restaurants are being closed, that they can't supply the food. Well, the people that work in the restaurant industry, people that are out of work or furloughed, and how they're trying to make ends meet as well. So there seemed to be two problems simultaneously, and they were juxtaposed next to each other. And, 2 days later, Bill Maleisen, who we're friends, we go a long way back, and Eric Wittenberg, Chris Weeks, Chang Kim, a bunch of friends, we had a phone call. We talked about what's going on and what can we do about it. Another one of my friends is Dave, Army veteran Dave Lemon's boss. His name is Mark Kramer. He has a refrigerated trucking company out in Salt Lake City. So we said, you know, maybe we could do something and see where it goes. And most importantly, you know, you said earlier in your segment about applying your skills and talents. You know, I think I could speak for all of the co-founders, all the friends that got together to do this. You know, each of us has unique skills and talents and friendships that we have called upon in order to come together and work as a team in order to address this problem in whatever way that we can, and hopefully show people that, you know, if you don't start, you don't finish.
Yeah.
And that you could eventually get there and inspire other people. And we have lots of stories to share about that.
Right. Could you talk about how you architected this project? Because you had to know what skills you needed right from the beginning. So could you guide us through that so that the listener could also understand all the different links of the chain, what skills they had to have in order to really work this project?
Well, we knew where the potatoes were because Ryan Cranny, who is a potato farmer, mainly supplies restaurants with his Idaho potatoes, had already done a tremendous act of generosity by giving away 2 million potatoes, which is a huge amount of potatoes. And I called my friend Mark, and he has, you know, a refrigerated trucking company.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously an important piece of this. And, you know, without hesitation, Mark answered right away, you know, sure, let me know how I could help. We need to do something. And then Eric Wittenberg has been working with Eastside House, which is a nonprofit in the Bronx. It's actually the poorest congressional district in the United States. They've been working with that community for over 100 years. And, you know, it's a 4-star out of 4-star nonprofit with Daniel Diaz, who's the executive director, doing really great work in workforce redevelopment, in education. And what became their sort of primary mission became a humanitarian mission because the people in the community were very much impacted. A lot of seniors had passed away from coronavirus. New York is obviously the epicenter. And so they had to put a plan into action to give food to people in that neighborhood. And so that was another important – we needed where to get the food, and we needed a place to bring it, and we needed someone to help us get it there. And we've been blessed with some great media coverage, a very successful GoFundMe page where anyone from $5 to, you know, to $10,000 donations have come in and have really made a difference. And we've been able to, you know, scale up our effort and create some systems and processes so that we could move forward.
What actually goes through what went through your mind when you saw this? Because you were convinced, I am going to do that. Because when you saw that, the light bulb went on. So, and with that, we're really activating the pioneer in ourselves. Pioneers are great because we do projects and we go places where other people wouldn't go or wouldn't do. That's how I look at it. So when you were convinced that's the project I'm going to do, did you have to do a lot of convincing when you ask down the line? Were there any no's, or was everybody on board immediately?
No, I mean, in fact, let's ask, like, Bill Malaison was one of the first phone calls, and Bill jumped right at it. I mean, Bill, what was your reaction?
Hey, Marietta.
Hi.
I love the idea of the pioneer. What comes to mind as you're saying that is John was the catalyst.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had this energy that hit him when he was sitting on the couch watching this and said, something's got to be done about this. So he was a spark and then called us and said, hey, we should do something about this. And Eric said, well, I've got a place to do something to bring this food to. And I think when we all jumped on board and said yes, all of us have pretty strong networks. And one of the things that we did was we didn't really give people a choice, I suppose, because mm-hmm. when we called people to ask for help, we were so engaged in it.
Yeah, I know.
I think people just simply said, oh, yeah, what do you need me to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm there. And I think that was a function of our commitment to it, I suppose. You know, there wasn't really a question of if we were going to do this.
No.
Simply a question of how do we solve the problems in order to get it done.
I understand. I really, really understand. Why I understand, not just to say I'm understand, because I have run projects for 37 years. And to give our listeners an idea, and you gentlemen as well, when I see that people lost their house due to a fire, and I was asked if I could put them on air so they could get help, and this was not here with this station, WICC. It was a different station here in Connecticut, and it was in 2008. And while I was on air, I did ask for help, if anybody would step up to help, and of course, nobody called. Nobody called during my airtime. And I got off the phone. I got off air at 5 o'clock, and I said, I can't call this man back and say I couldn't help. And when I did call him, I said, you know, I have one idea, and I want you to engage everybody who lived in that family home, in that house, because it's for everybody. I'm not just doing this for you. And I called the Greenwich Hyatt here in Connecticut, in Greenwich, and I said, we need shelter for 24 people who had a fire. And I was so convinced. The manager said yes immediately. I know exactly what happens when you see something and you're convinced that you're going to help them. Something happens. You activate everything inside of you, all the light bulbs, everything that you've done in the past, everything comes forward. And people feel that. People feel it. And this is what must have happened. So,
absolutely.
And, you know, so, and it's incredible. And I like to talk a little bit to our Dave Lemon. How did you feel about this whole project, being part of it and everything?
Being a part of it was truly an honor, and it was the best way I knew how to help New York. And especially with my expertise in driving a truck.
Right. You're an Army veteran. You worked in, you're a mechanic. You have...
I was a mechanic in the military, yes. Mm-hmm. I got out of the military, was going to try and pursue that part of diesel mechanics. But I couldn't get the help with the ASC certification. So I was a truck driver before. Once out of the military, I worked at a factory for a year, and then I got tired of basically making almost minimum wage, and I told my wife, it's like, we need to basically do something different, and I came back to driving a truck, and it's been 5 years since then, so I was born to do this, and this is where I feel comfortable, and this is how I can help as many people in any way I can.
You were also on our list, a couple of programs back where we honored the health professionals, the truck drivers, and the grocery clerks that stayed, that worked during this. And we also learned, I think the public learned how important you are in your transportation business, the store clerks, the cash out clerks, the cashier, and so forth. And I want to thank you as well, because I'm very intimidated. I could never drive a truck, and I would be a very bad navigator. So, you know, so that's not my strength. However, I wouldn't mind taking off some time and going cross country in a truck and just, finding out what life is like, you know, really being under deadlines and really going from you know, from the east to the west and so forth. So it's incredible under all different weather conditions. That's something else. You know, it really I'm very impressed with that, because when the first snowflakes fall, you know, people stay home, and I'm one of them. So I do have to say that, you know. So I'm painting. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, just like you said, when the first snowflakes fall, a lot of people get scared. But truck drivers are the ones we have to grin and bear it and do our best to make sure that the food supplies and all that stuff doesn't come uninterrupted in any type of storm. I mean, there are times where we do get problems like that where interstates close and there's nothing we can do about it except wait it out, wait out the storm, and hopefully the state people can get the roads cleared and get them open again. But once the roads open, we're back out there trying to, dangerous roads or not, we're trying to make it to where everything can get back going again.
Before we go for a break, I just want to let the three of you know, John, Bill, and Dave, yesterday when I talked to Christine, I was very emotional, and I was telling her how I felt about the whole program. John really saying, I'm going to do this. And then the mental strength to gather everybody and just to really have that project done within 2 weeks. I cried yesterday. I really, really did. Today I have to hold it together. So I can very, very much appreciate the project itself, mentally and, of course, emotionally, and what the benefit is, of course. So please stay tuned. We're going to go for just a quick break, and we'll be back.
Hi, this is Marietta from Life Talk. Stay safe. Be strong, because different times are coming, and practice social distancing.
You're my world, you're every breath I take. You're my world, you're every move I make.
Hey, it's tough.
My dreams reach for the sun above. So your arms reach out to me for love.
The HealingMindMagazine.com is a life learning classroom connecting globally, home of Life Talk Radio with Marietta and podcasts. Get to know exceptional people through awareness, education, inspiration, motivation. We establish movement, change, and growth for mind, body, and spirit at any age. Come join and be part of our radio and magazine community worldwide. Visit and subscribe to TheHealingMindMagazine.com. That's TheHealingMindMagazine.com. Being able to sell yourself, your ideas, your knowledge, your concepts, and services to potential clients is not easy for many professionals. A new norm requires a new delivery message. Now is the time to take a good look at how to improve and expand those essential areas. Call Marietta Kammerer for immediate consultation, 203-505-3660. That's 203-505-3660. Sponsored by KmarEducation.org and TheHealingMindMagazine.com.
Hi, this is Marietta from Life Talk. Stay safe, be strong, because different times are coming, and practice social distancing.
While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
For small business owners, it's not business as usual. Amid the crisis, you're looking for answers, solutions, help. We see you. We hear you. We have something for you. CNBC.com/small business. The latest on relief programs, loan forgiveness, tax help, and state-by-state updates. Protect your business. Get advice. We're here to help. Go to CNBC.com/small business.
And now back to Life Talk on WICC 600. Here's Marietta.
Oh, she may be weary. Young girls, they do get weary. Weary and shame. Shaggy gray.
We're back from our break. We have wonderful guests with us tonight, John Boddy, Bill Malazan, and Dave Lemon. They're co-founders of the project Farm to Food Banks. They made national and international news. They're incredible. They're absolutely incredible. And Bill, I'd like to bring you back into the conversation, if I may. What is it that you need now going forward?
Yeah, it's a great question, Marietta. So at this point, you know, we've established our distribution system with the Eastside House team, and we have been talking to a number of farmers and food co-ops and distributors who are connecting us with food sources. We need other people to support us, and more funds always helps because the communities that we're serving, this is not a problem that's going to go away in the next month or
exactly.
2 months, or even
yep.
6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is probably an 8 to 12 month issue, unfortunately. We heard this week that the lines are getting longer at the distribution points, and we heard from some families who said that they hadn't had food in 4 days. And so they were very grateful, but also the need we can see is really growing. So more funds can help us continue to buy more produce and support more farms. We need one particular thing is we need a box solution.
You need what?
A box solution. So we hand out this food in pantry boxes. So
oh, okay. Yeah.
By 18, and we're doing about 2,500 of these a week. So there is a lot of boxes that we have to purchase or get donated. And that could be one specific thing that if somebody out there has a connection to a box manufacturer and can get us cheaper boxes, that would really help.
Okay. What else?
As this continues to grow, you know, we are looking for partners to help us expand warehouse space. And then potentially to help us with delivery trucks within the Bronx and within the city. The warehouse space is probably one of the bigger ones. Warehouse space in the Bronx. So if anybody's listening who might have a connection to warehouse space for refrigerated warehouses, that's something that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. The Eastside House, the nonprofit, when I went to their website, I said, they're in the educational business. And how quickly they were in the food business. Because, again, mm-hmm. the neighborhood, I was told that there are no grocery stores in the neighborhood and there are no food pantries there.
There's no Walmart or Costco. There are, you know, smaller grocery stores that the shelves are often depleted.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and many people don't have cars. They have to use public transportation. So, for instance, our next shipment that's en route right now is 43,000 pounds of long grain parboiled white rice and black beans and pinto beans that have been all sourced from American farmers. When you buy bulk rice, they'd like to sell it to you in 2,000 pound totes. But obviously, in the age of coronavirus, we didn't want to have people putting their hands into a big tote and filling up their bags. And so what we've done is we've worked with down in Arkansas. The rice is coming from the south, and the beans are coming from the Midwest. And we actually hope to have bean purchases in the future from New York State. And Bill and, you know, could talk a little bit more about that as we're working with the New York Farm Bureau and the Long Island Farm Bureau to create local solutions for some of because there are New York State potatoes as well, besides Idaho potatoes. And the more resilient and sustainable system going forward will be, you know, New York local farmers, seasonal produce, working with us and creating the supply line directly into this neighborhood or these neighborhoods in New York City, in particular in the South Bronx. But the rice and beans are on their way. They've been packaged in, you know, 10-pound bags of white rice and 1-pound bag of beans. Some families don't even have refrigerators. So staple foods like rice and beans really go a long way to feeding these families and their extended families. So that's been a priority for us. Besides the potatoes, we've purchased some canned goods
the rice and beans. There have been this past week fresh produce delivery, about 8,000 pounds of fresh produce. And we're working on, for instance, eggs. One of the initiatives, there's an egg farmer, Danny Bray, with Bray's Egg Farm in Sullivan County, New York. It's about 2 hours north of the Bronx. And he pretty much exclusively supplied New York City restaurants. And New York City restaurants are essentially shut down. Mm-hmm. He has about 300,000 egg-laying hens. And about a couple weeks ago, it was at the point where he didn't have any demand and not able to sell the eggs and trying to keep his farm in business. And obviously, he has to continue to feed the hens and take care of them. And it was getting to the point he made food donations to local food banks. He sent eggs to a food bank up in Albany. He sent eggs to Brooklyn. We're hoping to purchase eggs from him. And that's actually a key part of the mission of farms to food banks. It's supporting struggling farmers just as much as feeding people that are in dire need. So I earlier spoke about Ryan Cranny and his potatoes in Idaho. He had given away 2 million potatoes, but our truck got there about a half a day too late. So all the free potatoes were gone. So we spoke with him and we said, Mr. Cranny, do you have any more potatoes? He says, well, it's basically my savings bank. And I'm hoping that the markets open up again. I have them in storage, in cold storage. And, if I don't sell these, then, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay in business. So we purchased those potatoes from him at wholesale pricing. And what we're calling, as we speak to farmers, we're calling it equitable pricing. Do what you can to help us feed people, and we're going to do what we can to be equitable and to support you so that you can keep your farm in business.
Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
Because longer term, with this disruption, if farmers go out of business and if they are not planting now because they're not sure if they're going to have a market for their summer crops or their fall crops, we're going to have a massive food shortage later this summer and later this fall. So they have to make an investment now. They have to make decisions now in terms of how much they're going to plant because whether or not they're going to have a market on the back end. And so what we're trying to do is work with farmers now to help them make those decisions and know that we could be a very small but important end user market for them.
Right. Now, for our listeners, where do they go to donate for financial donations?
Sure. We have a GoFundMe page, and it's under there under Farms to Food Banks.
Okay. That's on Facebook?
There's a Twitter.
Oh, Twitter?
We have a Twitter handle. Which is, and there's a link there to it's at Farms, then the number 2, Food Bank. Or you could go on GoFundMe, and there's Farms to Food Bank.
Okay, so please repeat what people have to do, because I heard a little background noise, so I wasn't quite sure if people were able to hear you. Would you kindly guide again how people can do the financial donation?
Sure. If you go on to GoFundMe, there's Farms to Food Banks. So it's FARMSTO Food Banks. And there's a GoFundMe page. Right now we're at about 238,000. We've been increasing our goals, and as we've reaching more and more families, we have over 2,100 donors. And there's also on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter.
Okay.
It's at Farms, then the number 2, Food Banks. Farms 2, Food Banks.
Thank you. Go ahead. Sorry.
And thank you for asking.
Yeah. I'm not that familiar with GoFundMe.com. Sorry about that. I've never, I'm not familiar with it, so that's why I had to ask as well. And you know what I'd like to talk about now, because I'm sure you have a lot of admirers and sponsors, and people want to know, how can we do what you did? So, a very simple question. So, I know your background, you're both in the finance business. What skills and talents people have to have? So, I'd like to talk about that, because it is about people activating what they do best.
Sure. And whatever your background is, number one, believe in yourself. Whatever you want to go for, whatever outreach you want to do, believe in yourself and don't underestimate the resources that will become available to you. Once you send that energy out to the universe, things will just flow for you. We never imagined that we would have gotten as much publicity as we've had and donations and sure, you know, that was the goal. But we just put a plan into action. We were congruent. We knew that this was the right thing to do. And we were not afraid to ask people, hey, you know, do you know someone that could help with this? Mm-hmm. And people were just, it's been amazing. Numerous people, whether it's on LinkedIn or contacting us on Twitter, with just generous offers to help. In fact, Mark Kramer, who has, you know, owns SOAR Transportation, and there's a story here in terms of synchronicity. He had just, when we called him and asked, can you donate a refrigerated truck? 2 hours earlier, he had just signed a PPP loan document to keep his truckers employed and keep his trucks rolling. Mm-hmm. And so it just goes to show you how, like, you know, he's keeping his, you know, drivers like Dave Lemon and others, keeping them running because it's important for the economy. And they've had a massive disruption in the transportation industry. And so that he wouldn't have to lay off or furlough any workers, so that people could continue to feed their families and work and provide a national service by shipping food and other essential items across the United States. And, you know, in particular, refrigerated trucking, this is mainly food we're talking about. And so when we asked, there was no hesitation, because it was the right thing to do. And one of the reasons that we talked about early on about lighting a candle in the darkness, I mean, the news was very heavy. You know, lots of bad news, and how many people are affected economically and then health-wise, and people passing away, and we were at the epicenter here in New York, and it created a focus that created light in that darkness, and that energy became contagious, and people want to be around an energy like that and want to contribute towards that and to align with that, and that's really how the movement began.
Thank you for sharing that. I believe that And I understand what it takes mentally to do all of this. But for the people that are really employed doing a certain job, you don't really get the opportunity to develop your skills and talents. So what I say to people, you gotta place, volunteering is the best. Do something that you've never done before, and don't be afraid of it, because that's how you, and if you like, for instance, volunteering with you, and if you like it, you're developing your skills. You are developing new skills and talents. So In order to do this, they have to place themselves what they've never done before. So
absolutely.
That's the key. Now, I know mentally, you've done projects before. You had to. I know that. But many people have not. But they want to be part of what you're doing. How can we invite people to help you grow?
Hey, Marietta, it's Bill. I love the point that you're making about, people haven't done this before. They've got to take a risk a little bit, right? But you can do that intelligently. find a small way to help that is in your community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just show up. Call somebody and say, I have time. Here's what I'm willing to contribute, and show up. I have to tell you, we've had a number of people who get in who got in touch with us who had skills that we needed. So this one woman, Lauren, knew the food supply chain, and she got in touch and said, I know you guys are going to deal with some challenges in getting food to people. I think I know this world, so I can help you. Please call me if you have any interest. So it takes people like her to have the motivation to just call up and say, I have a particular skill that you need, and I'm willing to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing that I picked up, you said this at the beginning of this, around talents coming out of adversity. You know, we're in the midst of a crisis right now, and it is a great time to reflect on the talents that might be emerging in you. I know that our team, John says this a number of times, like, let's make sure that each person is working on something that they want to work on.
Yes.
So our team has figured out how to fall into roles, right? And it isn't necessarily, a lot of it starts with who's strong at something, but then it's also raising, you know, somebody will raise their hand and say, hey, I want to do that. I haven't tried that yet. Let me give a try at that thing. And so we're using this also as a way to just develop skills and talents as people. I think that aligns with some of the pieces you're talking about.
I love so much to have a thought and then figuring out the strategy and implementing it. And I've been doing that for 37 years. I've been self-employed 37 years. So I do this every single day. And I just know what it took. When John had the thought, when he, you know, the light bulb went on, and it's a wonderful project that you're doing. And what I really see, the vision that I have, you have an entity that could employ many, many people down the road. Yeah? Depending on what you all want to do with it. I see it. I really see it. In the meantime, you're helping the farmers, you're helping people with food, and you're helping people in the volunteer arena to develop their skills and talents. I love it. I really see that. I said that to Christine yesterday. I just absolutely love it. You know, I see it. Out of a thought.
Thank you.
Out of a thought. And I respect that so much. And, everything what you've done. Out of a thought, look at the consequences, the benefits, not consequences, wrong word, the benefits that it has. So, again, we're talking to John Boddy, Bill Mehlisen, and Dave Lemon. And we're almost out of time. How many minutes do we have left? Oh, okay. We have a few more minutes left. Dave Lemon, I'd like to bring you back into the conversation. And what would you have to say to people that are looking to do something different with their life because they're not sure about work? And I also feel nobody should sit on the couch and wait till their jobs come back because they won't come back. So what do you say to them? Let me start with you, Dave.
Well, I'm going to say that at the beginning of this year, right when we learned about this epidemic, I became an independent contractor, driving a truck. This is my first year basically running my own business, and I'm learning a lot. All it takes is a little bit of ambition and a little bit of risk. And to me, the risk has paid off tremendously. Thanks to Mark Kramer and all of my support staff back here in the office, back here in Salt Lake City. It's where I make a profit, but they also mentor me into being a savvy business person, just like Bill there and John as well. All it takes is ambition and a little bit of calculated risk to do what you want to do. You said it right there. You got to get up off the couch and at least try something. You can't just sit around and let the world come to an end. Don't let people dictate to you what you can do and what you can't do, because if you do that, then you're doomed to fail right out the gate.
I think I've been taking initiative since I was 2 years old. I don't know any other way. I don't know any other way.
There you go.
And then if somebody approaches me, which rarely happens, you know, I think, oh, maybe there's something not right, you know, because I am also their pursuer, always. And making things happen is just very natural to me. But also people that are just working in one particular area in corporate, they don't have the opportunity we have as self-employed people to learn how to see opportunities. That's another thing. First of all, wanting to learn to take initiative has a lot to do with how the person thinks and who knows, a combination of many things. But initiative, but also self-determination, run your own life. It's exactly. All part of it.
Exactly. You gotta be able to take ambition. I know a corporate life, you can't really move up. You can't go sideways. The only way to get out and get your wings is to, if you're not happy where you're at, go look for somewhere else to go. Broaden your skills a little bit. Make it better to where you don't have to stay there. You know, take a chance. That's what it boils down to. You got to be willing to take the chance in order to broaden your horizon.
That's right. That's right. Bill, what would you say to everybody now as we're getting ready to wrap it up? We have 3 minutes left.
Well, wonderful. Well, what I would say is, you know, communities all over the country are going to need initiatives like this. You know, so if you're listening, look how you can do this in your community, right? If you want to support us, GoFundMe, Farms to Food Banks. We are going to be, you know, growing this. We have some corporate sponsors who are wanting to get behind us and help the initiative at Eastside House. And I would echo, you know, what both you and Dave and John have said, which is, you know, this crisis is an opportunity for personal growth. It's an opportunity to look around and see what things you think are broken and start going out and fixing them.
Yeah. I couldn't work for 3 months because the businesses were closed. I do need, you know, businesses to conduct business. And what I created a project, the pet project. Dog and cats, we're giving away for 3 months free dog and cat food, helping the people that are unemployed. And they don't have to tell us who they are. We just, they're pet owners. So it kept me busy. And because it's all about mental health, that's what it is. And that's what I'm doing for the, you know, for another couple of months till we're, you know, back in business. John, I'd like to wrap it up. What would you like to say to our audience?
Marion, first of all, thank you for this opportunity to share with your audience what we're doing. And everyone
30
do,
seconds.
Everyone could do something on an individual and a localized basis. You know, reach out to your local farmers. Make sure that they're doing okay. And put together a food run for people in your community. And be kind. Be kind. Help other people. It's the way to live, and you'll feel much better about yourself.
Thank you. Thank you for being on with us tonight on Life Talk. We will be in touch. Thank you so much. You take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.